Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a recording of an Easter and Ascension sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Pentecost Sunday, May 27th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Easter and Ascension sermons. Now, when you make your gift, please indicate whether you want a downloadable version or a CD of these sermons. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us during the Easter season.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us, that is to say LGBT people, but they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers, love issues, etc.
If you know anything about your church history, there's some of those giants that stand throughout the milestones of the long history of the Christian church, and we can think of those names. One of them, of course, is Martin Luther from the 16th century, the great reformer. Now, we've seen pictures of Luther in the pulpit, and we've seen pictures of Luther testifying before the emperor of the Holy Roman Empire and all those other things. But Luther also sat in the pew. I know that's hard to believe, but he had a pastor. Why would the great reformer Martin Luther, towering intellect, genius, and theologian that he was, why would he need a pastor? And his pastor's name was Johannes Bugenhagen. Tomorrow the church will be remembering him. We'll do that a little bit today here in the first part of this hour with Dr. Martin Nolan. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Welcome back, and thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, Bobby Ross Jr. joins us from GetReligion.org. We'll talk about some media coverage of several religion stories, including that one about the use of live animals during the Easter worship service at that mega church in Texas, how it was covered by the television and by the rest of the press. And we'll round off today's program talking with Pastor Bill Swirla about faith and reason. Are the two completely incompatible? How do they relate to one another, if at all? Pastor Bill Swirla will answer that question in about a half hour here on Issues Etc. Now, you can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Dr. Martin Nolan is a regular guest. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran in Evansville, Indiana, and the former director of the Concordia Historical Institute. Dr. Nolan, welcome back.
Good afternoon.
Why would someone of such stature, in terms of intellect and knowledge and theological prowess, such as the 16th century reformer Martin Luther, why would he need a pastor?
Jesus has ordained that we all need a pastor. Pastors need their own pastors. Luther, in spite of his, towering intellect and other abilities theologically, he needed a pastor too. He needed a pastor to whom he needed to confess his sins. And when he was not himself conducting services, which Luther did, he also was served by pastors. This is a Lutheran understanding of the office of the ministry, that the office really is independent of the people that happen to fill it. And so Luther, being a human being like you and me, also needed a pastor, and that was, for most of his life in Wittenberg, that was Johannes Bugenhagen.
He's also a pretty big figure, Bugenhagen, in the Reformation itself. So how would you describe his life and work to us in a nutshell?
He's like maybe three or four in terms of prominence of people that are theologians and pastors in the Lutheran Reformation at the time of Martin Luther himself. You can look at later people like Chemnitz that come along and that are perhaps of more significance. But in terms of during Luther's life at Wittenberg, the number two man would be Melanchthon, and number three or four would be Bugenhagen, because he was not just the pastor at the parish church. He was also he was a regular preacher there. He was a lecturer at the university. He became the visitor in Saxony in 1527 for the initial visitations, and then he became the superintendent, which would be in Lutheran circles like a district president. That was in 1539. And besides that, he helped extend the Reformation to many other territories, both within and without the Holy Roman Empire. So he is a very significant reformer. He shows up in all the dictionaries, and whenever there's a collection that talks about the Lutheran reformers, he is always listed as number three or four.
Do we know how Bugenhagen came into contact with the Reformation itself?
He was originally a Roman priest in serving in Pomerania. That's where he got the nickname, the Latin nickname of Pomeranus. And he came across during his studies, I believe after he was ordained a priest, he was lecturing at the Bellbook Monastery in Pomerania and was looking for materials for his lectures, and he came across Luther's writings, which were being published at that time. He began his lectures in 1517, so that's just at the time of the posting of the 95 Theses. And as he read through these treatises of Luther, he also had the writings and the texts of Erasmus. And using his own independent judgment on the basis of what Luther was saying and what the Greek text said, he came to believe that Luther's position was correct. And then he moved in 1521 to Wittenberg and stayed there the rest of his life.
How did he come? The churches, the congregations there may confuse a few. There were several Wittenberg churches that Luther is associated with. But the church that Bugenhagen both pastored and that Luther was kind of pastor slash member of, tell us about that.
That's called St. Mary's. We might call it St. Mary Lutheran Church today. That is the parish church, which you can see with the two parallel steeples from the town square. And so as a parish church, he has would be like what they call a parish or diocese among the Roman Catholics today. It's a territorial area. It would be everything, I believe, that was within the city of Wittenberg, within its fortress walls, and also somewhat, perhaps, outside of that. That was distinguished from the college church, which today they call the castle church. And that church was under the administration of the court for the elector, and also under the college. So Bugenhagen didn't have any authority over at the Castle Church, but he did have responsibility as the pastor of all the people in Wittenberg in Luther's day.
What size of a parish did he pastor? Do we know?
No, I don't know that offhand. I'm sure there's over 1,000, but I don't know exactly the number of people.
So what was the relationship between Luther and Bugenhagen? I know that that Luther spoke very highly of him as a preacher, very, very highly of him as a preacher. What was the relationship?
It's a very cordial friendship. He's not just his pastor, and, you know, he meets him at church or anything like that. Bugenhagen also attends, you know, some of the social events. He is at the table talks on occasion. Significantly for the history of Protestant Reformation, Bugenhagen goes with Luther to the castle at Marburg for the Marburg debates, and Bugenhagen himself is the one that opens that debate with the discussion on the Lord's Supper. So he was a very close colleague and worked together with him in the area of reform, and you might say in some ways he's more significant than Melanchthon at that day. Melanchthon was very important theologically and for teaching and education, and Bugenhagen probably has more impact on the area of ecclesiastical life and the reform of the churches themselves.
You mentioned that he was first a visitor in Saxony and then later a superintendent. It sounds like just in terms of kind of getting their organizational act together, that was so necessary after the Reformation was underway, a lot of that fell to Bugenhagen.
That's correct. And so, you know, Luther has all these great ideas, certainly biblically based, but how do you put them into practice? And that often is not so straightforward, especially if you have 1,000 years or so of previous practice and habits and traditions and ways of thinking. So in that sense, Bugenhagen is very important. He makes the Reformation that is an idea or a theory, he makes it practical, and he sets up rules and regulations that the churches have to follow. He set up liturgies for the various states. He would be the writer of what we today in the Missouri Synod would call our handbook. So in that respect, he brings order, and it's a biblical thing because all things should be done decently in order, and Bugenhagen was good at doing that.
With only about a minute here, what should we best remember Johannes Bugenhagen for and his place in the 16th century Reformation?
Well, he certainly is responsible as a reformer next to Luther, not independent. In fact, he probably is the most faithful. He doesn't see his role as being, I've got to come up with my own ideas. He recognizes Luther's theology as the Christian and biblical theology, and he faithfully puts it into practice. So in that sense, he is a prototype of all faithful pastors that follow him.
Dr. Martin Noland is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Evansville, Indiana. He's a former director of the Concordia Historical Institute. Marty, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about some media coverage of three stories. One, there is the refusal by some Roman Catholic churches in Seattle to circulate a petition that the bishop has recommended there, calling for a referendum on Washington State's new same-sex law. Now, it's being reported that these dissenting, we don't even know if they're dissenting, but they've just simply decided not to circulate the petition and gather names. It's been reporting that they're dissenting from the bishop's view on same-sex marriage. Is that true? We'll also talk a little bit about what's being reported about Baptists and their opposition to the Texas State Lottery, and a story we dealt with a little bit, some time back on Issues Etc., how the media covered the use of live animals during an Easter worship service at a Texas megachurch. Bobby Ross Jr. will be our guest right after this.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a recording of an Easter and Ascension sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Pentecost Sunday, May 27th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Easter and Ascension sermons. Now, when you make your gift, please indicate whether you want a downloadable version or a CD of these sermons. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us during the Easter season.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.